Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory to God. Somebody shout, I've been delivered. Aren't you glad you've already been delivered? You already have. Delivered from what? From every evil thing. From every evil thing. You know, that's what the word salvation means. And people know that Jesus came and he saved us. Well, that word saved is a Greek word sozo, and it means healing, preservation, deliverance from every evil thing. So when you got saved, you got healed. You got healed. Well, now I believe that's a spiritual healing. Well, that's nice. You have any scripture to show me what a spiritual healing looks like? Can you show me what a spiritual healing looks like? Now, I can show you from Genesis all the way to Revelation what physical healing looks like. Now, that's all through the Bible. I can't see any spiritual healings. And he said, well, when we give our lives to Jesus and we're born again, we're spiritually healed. No, that's unscriptural. You didn't get healed when you got saved. You died. The old man, the old sinful man died and was buried with Christ. And then the new man was resurrected. A new man, a brand new man. Not something improved upon, not something fixed, not something healed, but something completely new. We became new creations in Christ Jesus. And old things passed away. All things have become new. So, you know, you can't say, when you're born again, you get a spiritual healing. No, you didn't get a spiritual healing. You got spiritually new. You were made spiritually new. And of course, we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and of course, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And we know what kind of healings he performed. It was physical healings. So that word salvation means healing. Salvation, not only does it mean the new creation being saved and delivered from hell, being made a new creation in Christ Jesus, but it also means healing, healing for your physical body. You know, I marvel that people that say they know the Bible will resist that. They'll argue with you about that. They'll have a tough time with believing that God has healed us and provided healing for us through Christ Jesus. And yet, I mean, again, you see it all through the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says itself over in Psalm 107 that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Healed them and delivered them. And then over in Proverbs 4, the Bible declares concerning itself that the word is life to those who find them, and a health or a healing to all their spirits. No, it's life to those who find them, and a health to all their flesh. So the word brings healing to our flesh. Thank God the word heals. The word reveals healing to us so that we can be healed. We can walk in the healing that Jesus has already provided for us when he gave us salvation. Because salvation is healing, preservation, deliverance from every evil thing. Deliverance from every evil. And evil things come from where? The evil one. And the evil one and his cohorts, demons, are also referred to over in the book of Ephesians as the powers of darkness. And so we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. And not just going by that word salvation in other scriptures, but there's a scripture that says that exactly like that over in Colossians chapter 1. Why don't you go with me there tonight? Colossians, the first chapter. Like I said last time, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous good news. You know, the gospel is good news, but just good news doesn't sound good enough for what really he has done for us. What this is ridiculous news. This is out of this world, over the top news right here. It's beyond just good in what we think good is. It's just awesome. All right, it's out there, and we're seeing this, and we have to understand that so we can open up and receive that, because God's not looking for you to just walk away from this place tonight just a little blessed. He wants you to walk out of here ridiculously blessed. Huh? Crazy blessed. Out of your mind blessed. And look here, because that's what you're about to receive. Are you ready to receive something that? Are you ready to receive something big tonight? I mean, this is big news. It's good, but it's big news. So you got to be ready for big. If you're not ready for big, you're going to miss it. All right? He says that your cup runneth over. If you're just sitting there with a Dixie cup, then that's easy to overflow. He's expecting you to cover the big cup. He'll make that thing overflow. I'm telling you, there's no cup big enough that can contain what he wants to do in and through your life. It's going to overflow. So you just come with the cup. You pick the size. You just come with it, and it's going to overflow. Are you ready for that kind of thing tonight? All right. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, when we think about redemption, we think about salvation, right? Salvation, redemption. And notice what's a part of redemption, what's a part of salvation. It says right here in verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, I want you to notice that it is in the past tense. Not in the future tense. It's not, and he will deliver us from the powers of darkness after we pass from this life and step on over into the sweet by and by. When we get on over into heaven, oh, then we will have been delivered of all darkness. Now that would be good right there. There's a lot of folks that fill churches because of that truth right there. How do you know? When we get over the other side, we are going to be completely free of devils and darkness. When we get on over into heaven, man, there ain't going to be any sign of the devil. That's exciting. I mean, if we just stopped there, we'd say, that is awesome news. For now, folks, just hang on. Just bear it. Press through it and just know that when it's all over, you'll be free of darkness over there in heaven. Well, that'd be good news. I mean, if I came and preached that tonight, you could walk out of here with a smile, couldn't you? That'd make you happy. But no, God couldn't stop there, could he? He couldn't stop there. He has. Not he will. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. How many people know we are living in a world that is full of darkness? This whole world, the Bible says, is under the sway and control of the wicked one. Darkness covers this planet. But yet, right here in the midst of all this gross darkness, all this demonic influence, all this demonic oppression, all this sickness, all this disease, all this poverty, all this death, you and I have been delivered already from it. Which means what? It can't touch us if we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. If we understand our salvation. If we understand our redemption. Darkness, it can't touch us. We have been delivered already from it. From the powers of darkness, which would be deliverance from every evil thing, because every evil thing proceeds from the powers of darkness. So thank God you and I can now walk in the light. Again, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has, present tense, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us to partake of this great and awesome inheritance that we have in the light. So even though we're in a dark world, you and I are in the light. We are in the light in the midst of a dark world. And you can illustrate it by just looking at the creation at nighttime. You go outside and you look up at the sky on a clear night. And I mean, it's just dark. But then you look and there's all these beautiful lights glistening up there in the sky. Right? All these lights. And you look and say, where are they getting the light from? I mean, it is a sea of darkness. I don't see where they're getting their light from. But yet, nevertheless, in the midst of this sky that is blanketed with darkness, there's all these lights. Some big lights, some little lights. But there's all kinds of lights up there. And then you get out into a place where there's no city lights, you know, where it's really, really dark. And you look up and you just see that the sky is just full of these lights. Well, see, that's how it is from heaven's view. When we look up towards the heaven at night, we see lights shining out of the darkness. Well, that's how heaven sees the earth in the spirit when they look down upon the earth. They don't see a blue marble. They see darkness spiritually. The earth is covered with darkness, but yet, in the midst of that darkness, there's lights. There's lights, some big bright ones, some dim ones, but there's all kinds of lights. Don't you want to be a big bright light? Be a big, big bright light that the angels can set their compass to? They can navigate their course to? Huh? That's the kind of church we need to be, the kind of group of people, group of believers we need to be. We need to be folks that, you know, people can navigate. Heavenly beings can navigate their life by looking at you and I here on the earth. Because we are for signs and wonders in this earth. So just like those stars can shine, glory be to God, you and I are shining. You and I are shining in the earth. And as we share the gospel, and as we bring people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they're born again, glory be to God, they can be taken out of that darkness and placed in the light. I didn't say taken out of the earth, but they can be taken, separated, sanctified, set apart from the darkness, and be in the light of God in the midst of a dark world. So we don't have to be partakers of the darkness, even though it's all around us. We don't have to be overcome by the darkness, even though it's all around us. We don't have to be overcome by demons. We don't have to be overcome by devils. We don't have to fear them. How many people know the light is greater than the darkness? No matter how much darkness is in the sky, if you got a bright star, it is going to shine right through. I said it's going to shine right through, and that darkness cannot stop it. Darkness cannot block out the light of those stars that are shining. And glory be to God, if we'll believe, if we'll believe the word, if we'll trust in what God says about us and not judge ourselves according to the flesh and not react to everything that's going on here in the world, but if we will believe God's word and know who we are in Him, then glory to God, we'll not be overcome by evil, but we'll be able to shine right through it. And don't doubt this. Don't doubt the fact that you are a light wherever you go. You are a light wherever you go. Even though according to the flesh, you look the same. When you're living and walking by faith in what the Word of God says about you, you are influencing people with the light. They might not know what it is. They might know what it is, but they know. They know it's different. They're going to feel spiritually something hitting them. Something hitting their spiritual eyes. There's something coming off of you spiritually. Now, physically, they don't see it. But spiritually, it's like that. And that's why some folks will persecute you, because they just want to turn the light out. I don't know what it is about you, but you're annoying me. Because it's like putting a flashlight in their eyes. But then there's those that are attracted to it, and they're drawn to it. And you have to understand this. You are not a Jehovah's Witness. You're not just some kind of religious person that's trying to win people by some kind of witty, natural method of sharing your faith. You got to have confidence that you are a light. You are a light in this world. And now all you got to do is begin to speak the word of God and just give some understanding of what you're all about to other people. Just start sharing the good news. People are going to know right away. People are going to know right away that this is real. This is real. Now, whether they receive it or reject it, that's entirely up to them. But they're going to know they just had a visitation with someone from heaven. They just encountered the light. If you understand this, you'll be more bold to share the good news. You'll be more bold to share your faith with people. You got to open your mouth. You got to have confidence. Man, they're going to think I'm a kook. They're going to think I'm like one of those Jehovah Witnesses. No. No. You are a witness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God that's upon your life. You're not a witness according to the flesh. Jesus said, I'll make you witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So say it with me, say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am a light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. That's who you are. We're not trying to be the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Man, if I just knew a little bit more. You are the light of the world. That's who you are. And so what we're doing is we're discovering ourselves, getting in the Word of God, discovering who we are. And then as we do, as we see it and believe it, what happens? We get brighter. We manifest more light. The more you see it and believe it, the more you'll manifest it. The brighter you'll become. And how many people want to get brighter? Now, you're already a light if you're born again, so don't sit here and wait until you're brighter, until you do something. You might as well get busy right now sharing your faith with others, because you are a witness. You are a light. But now we want to get brighter. We want to get brighter. And Isaiah 60 says it really well. It says that deep darkness shall cover the earth. Deep dark. Let's look at that. Hold your place, because I'm not done. Isaiah 60. Now, let me just read it to you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And people will come to the brightness of your rising. They'll come if you'll invite them. I said, if you'll invite them, they'll come. The Bible says that. They'll come to the brightness of your rising. They'll come out of that darkness, come to the light, and thus come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be delivered. Be healed. Delivered from the powers of darkness. Translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad you've been forgiven? Man, share that with others. Let them come to the light. Let them come to Jesus. Let them get saved, get forgiveness, be washed in His blood, and become lights themselves. We need more lights. The earth needs more lights. Huh? People talk about getting people saved so they could populate heaven. I want to light up the earth first. Let's get people saved to light up the earth. Because that's what God's looking for. He wants to see things twinkling down here. Louisville needs to be twinkling. Louisville needs to become like the Big Dipper. I mean, Louisville just needs to be full of people connecting, lights connecting with one another. That's what we want to see. Can you say amen? So thank God He has, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, He not only delivered us from darkness, but He has delivered darkness into our hands. He has not only delivered us from darkness, but He has delivered the darkness and everything in the darkness into our hands. And of course, we know, number one, what's in that darkness is what? People. There's people in that darkness. But thank God the Lord has delivered that into our hands. He's delivered it all into our hands. And we see a type and a shadow of this under the old covenant with the children of Israel. Back here in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. God has given instructions to go in and possess the promised land. What's in there? Well, there's a bunch of giants in there. There's a bunch of God haters, very corrupt, very perverse people in this place that God says the children of Israel are to possess. All kinds of corrupt, evil people in there, in that land. And God said that the children of Israel were to go in and dispossess the inhabitants of that land and take possession of it, which would include taking possession of everything in it. Now, the only city where they didn't take everything in it was Jericho, because that was the first fruits of the promised land. The first fruits belonged to God. Everything in there that was taken was to be dedicated to the Lord. It wasn't for the people. But after that, the people had free access to all the plunder, all the things that were in those lands. And so here in Joshua chapter 2, in verse 24, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered, there's that word delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So he's saying, all that's in that land has the Lord has delivered unto us. Well, who do we know to be the Lord today? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Of course, they didn't know Jesus under the old covenant. But He is Lord. Isn't that right? And so they said, the Lord has delivered, has delivered all the land into our hand. Everything that's in the land, the Lord has delivered to us. Now, friend, that's a type, under the old covenant, that's a type of what the Lord would do for us under the new covenant. The real enemies in life are not people. Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those are the real enemies. Your real enemies are spiritual enemies. So it really isn't just a natural, if you're dealing with any kind of problems in this world, it's not just a natural problem. The root of it, according to the scriptures, is spiritual. It's a devil problem. It's a devil problem. I mean, how many times did Jesus cast the devil out of somebody or deal with the devil when in seeking to get someone healed? How many times did I mean, so many times when he worked a miracle or sought to get somebody healed, he dealt with the devil, right? Spirits of infirmity. There's all kinds of spirits. There was a woman that was bent over. She couldn't straighten herself up. And Jesus said that she was bound by Satan. Bound by Satan. So, you know, it wasn't just a physical problem. Yeah, see, now, you know, her vertebrae, and she had degenerate something of the spine, and you know, and we could talk about all the natural things that have caused this, but the real root of the problem is not flesh and blood. It's not hereditary according to the natural. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. So if you deal with the spirit, the spiritual, then man, the natural will line up. So why just patch things up in the natural? Why not just go to the root of the situation and completely change it? Well, through Christ Jesus, we can. We can. Why? Because he has disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. Hold your place here and go with me to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to go back because it's just so good. I'm going to go back to verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Somebody say, I have been made alive. See, now that happened in the spirit, didn't it? See, because your real problem when it came to sin, when it came to oppression, when it came to confusion, was a spiritual problem. And Jesus came, and what did he do? He made you alive together with him. He made you alive. When you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, something spiritual happened to you. You were made alive. Hallelujah. You were made alive in your spirit. Oh, your sins forgiven, washed away, gone, passed away. You're new now. Isn't that awesome? Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now we're not trying to earn God's favor anymore. We're not trying to save or deliver ourselves anymore. No, there's no more requirements. Remember, he's already qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in the light. And he says, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. He, watch this now, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now again, if we hold our place there and we go to Ephesians, We come over here to Ephesians. And it says in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Let's go to verse 10. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Are we in him? Are you in Christ? You're in the Lord. How strong is he? Oh, he's all powerful. He's not saying be strong in your own strength. Now, sister, I know it's tough, but be strong.
I am, brother. I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on as hard as I can.
I'm trying as hard as I can. Well, thank God. You don't have to try anymore. You can trust. Trust in his power and in his strength. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. It's not about being strong in yourself anymore. You got access to the Lord's power. Come on, get this tonight. Don't walk out of here like you're a withering vine. You are strong in the Lord. You're in him. You're a branch in the vine, in the Lord. All you got to do is just reach in. You could do that. Just by faith. Just by faith. That's why he said in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is a waste of time, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Be filled with him. He's telling us to do it. That means you can do it. It's really a command. So go do it. See, it's not so, oh, that the Lord would fill me. Fill my cup, Lord. Come fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty heart of mine. And they're waiting, they're singing. They're singing Kumbaya. Come by me, O Lord. Come by me. See, they want the Lord to fill their cup. But the Lord said, be filled. He commands you. He said, don't be drunk with wine. That's a waste of time. But be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving griping always. No, not giving griping. One of the quickest ways you could drain yourself is gripe. Giving thanks always to the Lord. Well, why would I give thanks to him? Because he qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance in the light. You're in the light. You've been delivered from the powers of darkness. You got a lot to be thankful for, glory to God. Think on what he's done for you and begin to praise him and magnify him and allow him to fill you up. As you thank him, receive a fresh infilling, a fresh infusion of his strength, of his power into your being. Why be drunk with wine when you can be intoxicated? What does it mean to be drunk? Overcome. Overcome. These people are overcome with their cares, overcome with their worries. Be overcome with the Spirit of God. And he commands you to do it. And know what? This is yours to do. Fooey on you if you're not doing it. Walking around complaining. Pastor, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Quite obviously, you don't know. I know. And I'm knowing it more, praise God. And I'm talking it. and I'm singing about it. Hallelujah. So just by faith, say, I'm in him. Put your limb out there. Put your limb out there. Lay hold of the vine. Ready? Ooh. Can we do that? Can we do that again? Ready? I want you to really suck it in. Ready? What happened? I just got filled with the Lord. How'd you do that? By faith. By faith that I'm in him. And I can do that. In fact, he commanded me to do that. He commanded me to do that. Hallelujah. So I said all that to say, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Stop it. Stop this nonsense. You got the Lord. Come on. You got the Lord. You've been delivered from the powers of darkness. You're not trying to be. You have been. You have been. It is done. It has happened. You are in him. You are in the light. Draw on it. Draw on it. Believe in it. Talk of it. Sing about it. Hallelujah. And man, it'll manifest more and more. You'll get brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger, happier and happier. Oh, yeah, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the strength of the Lord is your joy. See what I'm saying? So a good indication that you're drawing on that strength is that you're getting happy. You're getting happy. You don't know the darkness that surrounds me. You're not of it. You're in the light. You're of God, little children, born of him. You are lights in this world. You are not subject to what the powers of darkness is doing in the world to the lost. You're not subject to that. You're above that. You're better than that. You are blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You are healed and you are happy in the midst of it all. And you are strong. I understand people, they like the violins. They don't want to let it go. I understand that. They want to sing, I left my heart in San Francisco. They want to sing love songs. They don't love songs, they're depressing. People like depression. It's like it's a high, but it's really a low. It's very strange. People are strange. They think lows are highs. They go to a low place because it's a high to them. Isn't that crazy? It's just such deception. It's such darkness. Thank God we're not there, and we don't want to be there. Huh? Come on, let's get all that salvation encompasses. Let's get all of our salvation. Let's enjoy all of our redemption. Right? Christ has, Galatians 5, what is it? Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is everything you would think to be a curse. You go over there, Deuteronomy 28, look at the curse. He has redeemed us from all the curse, all the curse. You can't curse me. I don't care if a curse looks like it's clinging to you. You could just shake the thing off. Say, I'm not cursed. I have been redeemed from the curse of the Lord. I'm going to walk in the fullness of my salvation, the fullness of my redemption. I'm going to walk in everything he's got for me. Jesus got so much for you when he came to this earth, went to that cross, died, was buried, and rose again. When he rose up out of that grave, the Bible says over here in Colossians chapter 2:13, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And again, who are these principalities and powers? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. He goes a little further here. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. So the rulers of the darkness, the hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places are all a part of what he took care of right here in Colossians 2:15. He having disarmed, they are disarmed. Disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them. A lot went on there when Jesus rose from the dead. A lot went on there. He did some things to the powers of darkness. Here in the New King James, it says he disarmed them. Old King James says he spoiled principalities and powers. Spoiled them. I looked it up in the original Greek. That word disarmed. It means put off. Completely put off from one's self. Denoting separation from what is put off. Sounds like sanctification. What is sanctification? What is holiness? To be set apart. Set apart from evil. Right? Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he completely put off from oneself. Denoting separation from what is put off. Completely separated from the devil. Completely separated himself from the powers of darkness. To despoil, this word disarm, despoil or spoil. It means to ruin, mess up, wreck. He wrecked these devils, wrecked them. To destroy, now watch this, to strip persons, places, etc. of goods, valuable. He stripped the devil of all his goods, all his valuables, to plunder. He plundered the devil. That's what it means to disarm, to spoil. He plundered the devil, to pillage, to take or seize by force, prizes won or treasures accumulated. Jesus went in there. He went in there. He whipped the powers of dark. He went into the darkness. And he went in there and he just wrecked them. He just wrecked the place. He completely disarmed them. And he plundered them. He plundered the darkness and he took all the spoils. Took all the wealth, all the goods, all the valuables, all the treasures. In that darkness. And we see that, again, a type of that over here in Isaiah 45. Verse 2. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. Happy people know the Lord does that, doesn't he? I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. Bronze, for one, is a type of judgment. And I can't get into a whole teaching on why that is, but it for one, it is, not limited to, judgment. Happy to know, Jesus wiped out all judgment against you and I. All condemnation. In Christ, there is no sense of condemnation, therefore no sense of inferiority, not even with God. He's made us his righteousness. Hallelujah. He says, I will go before you, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces. I'll wreck. I'll ruin the gates of bronze. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And cut the bars of iron. Iron is symbolic of strength. All kinds of supernatural strength that's been holding people in bondage.
I don't know why I can't get free of it. I don't know why I keep falling back into this. I don't know why I keep it. I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. I don't know why I keep doing what I don't want to do, because it's supernatural.
It's irons, spiritual irons, that have wrapped themselves around people. But Jesus wrecked them. He cut them in pieces. He shattered them. I ain't wearing any shackles. Best thing the devil could do now is just pick up little pieces. He tries to put a few little pieces on you of a broken shackle. And people go, oh,
it's iron. It's an iron chain. I'm bound.
It's like, you kidding me? You can't bind me. Say that. Say it again. That's what you say when something tries to come upon you and tell you you can't do anything about this. This is one habit you can't break. You know what you need to say when the devil says, this is one habit you can't break? You got to just tell the devil, you're right, Mr. Devil. I can't break it, and I'm not going to try to break it, because Jesus already broke it. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to break a habit. You're going to break a habit. Jesus broke your habit in pieces. He's already destroyed the thing. Yes, he has. The source of it is the devil. It's not just your flesh and your blood craving it. It's the devil. And Jesus busted it up. He messed it up. Hallelujah. I will cut the bars of iron, that supernatural bondage, I'll cut it in pieces. And watch this, verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Somebody say, God is my God. See, under the new covenant, Jesus came. He went down into hell and he disarmed. He made a spectacle. He spoiled principalities and powers. What do you mean? He went in there and he stripped the devil of everything that he has stolen and held hostage from mankind. Everything that God created for man, every blessing, every good thing, all the valuables, all the precious things of this world, God made it for man, and the devil came and he's plundered man and he's gathered it all up into the darkness. The darkness of himself. But oh, glory to God, Jesus went down into the darkness and he went in there and he defeated, like a light out of heaven, he went into that darkness and he wrecked the place. He defeated every devil of that place, and he went in, and not only did he defeat the devil, but he plundered the devil of everything that the devil stole from mankind. And now he says, I give you the treasures of darkness. Hallelujah. Say, all the treasures that have been hidden in the darkness, covered up by the devil, it's mine now. What happens when you believe that? The lights come on and you see it.
Oh, what I needed was right there all along.
See, the treasures are here. But the devil's had it all covered up. He's had it all covered up. There's people starving to death in lands where the ground is full of food, but it's just not cultivated. They're in darkness. There's oppression. There's robbery. And therefore, the people, they don't lay hold of what's right there in their land. It's the same thing spiritually. Everything you need in life, it's all right here. Now we just need the light. Light comes on, wisdom comes. We know exactly what to do. We know exactly how to lay hold of it. We know exactly how to get it. Because we're walking in the light. Just think of Jesus. Just think of Jesus. Great light. Walking through the land. Did he ever lack anything? Did he ever lack anything? No. He didn't lack anything. Whatever he needed, he was able to get it. Because it was all around him. And if he needed to see it, he'd see it. If he needed to know it, he would know it. And so you and I will know everything we need to know when we need to know it. And we'll have everything we need to have when we need to have it. And whatsoever things we desire, praise God, by the grace of God, we'll be able to lay hold of it. We'll be able to have it. Can you say amen? Why? Because we're walking in the light. And everything that was in the darkness is now uncovered, and it belongs to us. I said it all belongs to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say it's all mine. Hallelujah. We got to go back to it, and then we'll go. 2:15, Colossians. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. I mean, he embarrassed the devil. Do you understand that? That's what that means. He embarrassed him. You know, the devil, he's so full of pride, he's still embarrassed today by what happened. He hasn't gotten over that. That really bothers him. So feel free to bring it up whenever you want. Just bring it up as often as you like. Just remind him, say, oh, look what happened to you. You got your little horn kicked in. Jesus whipped you. And he took from you. Everything you took from mankind, Jesus took it back, and it belongs to me now. Why? Because I'm a partaker of the inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I could keep going about that. I just wish I had 5 more minutes. But... just 5 more minutes. Romans chapter 8. Some of you are you're scrounging around because your Dixie cup is gone. And you're trying to find something. You're like, give me a pot. I need a pot. He's going to Romans 8. I need a pot. I didn't come ready for this. This is big. This is big. Woo, hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now, what does it mean to be an heir? An heir is one who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. He's a possessor. We are heirs of God. Possessors of God. Possessors of God. Possessors of all that he is and all that he has. We're heirs. And verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. What does it mean to be a joint heir? One who obtains something assigned to himself with others. A joint participant. We participate with Christ in everything that he plundered from the powers of darkness. Everything that Jesus went into hell and took, glory be to God, belongs to us. Everything. It's ours. It's our right. It's our inheritance. We are children of God, and therefore we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that was put into Jesus' account, we have access to. We can go into the account and make withdrawals as often as we want. We can draw on the anointing. We can draw on the strength of God. We can draw on his life. And we can draw on whatsoever things we desire if we believe. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.